She's the media maven with her finger on the pulse of the heartbeat of Chicago. If it's happening in the Windy City, she's got you covered. Now here's the lady that puts the fun in fundraising, Candid Candace Jordan.
Well, happy Friday, everyone. It's Candid Candace here with my trusty sidekick, producer, friend, co-host, John St. Augustine.
Gopher.
Hey, John.
Gopher?
Did you say gopher?
Yeah. Oh, gopher this, no. Gopher that.
No, you're just the all-around handyman, though. I will admit that.
Only philosophically. I'm having a great week. You know, I was out putting, you'd be proud of me, because we have this love of Christmas thing that we both share.
Yes.
And we talked last week we talked about that shop that doesn't exist anymore, where all those cool things. Yes. And
I'll be quiet.
No, I like your yes, because you know it's leading somewhere. Mm-hmm. And but I thought, well, today was the day to do it. So I was wearing shorts while I was putting up the Christmas decorations. How cool is that?
Well, it kind of takes something out of the meaning of Christmas for me. I mean, I do love this weather. Don't get me wrong. Obviously, it's fabulous. But I'd like to see a blizzard out there. I'd like to see a blizzard, you know, freezing hail and rain.
Freezing hail and rain?
Yes, that tells me that it's the time of the season when, you know, the tree will bring the spark of life to your apartment or your home. And, you know, you can cozy up with a 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 bottles of wine and, you know, get your weekend started.
That's between 4 and 8 o'clock on Friday, and then you get into the weekend. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I can remember my dad was one of those guys. He waited till the very last minute to put Christmas up. And he had these red bells. I wish I could find them. They're long gone. These big red plastic bells. We had a pretty good sized house on the northwest side of the city. Okay. And I remember him in one of your blizzards out on a ladder, you know, plugging stuff in, hanging off there. And I'm thinking, he's going to break his frickin' neck at Christmas. But he loved doing that stuff. And the other thing he had, which I've looked for and never found again. Do you remember the Polk Brothers Santa Clauses?
No, I don't. What were they?
So Polk Brothers was a big furniture store in Chicago.
Polk Brothers, but I'm...
So when you bought a certain amount of furniture at Christmas time, they either gave you or gave you a really good deal on like a 5.5-foot-tall Santa Claus.
Oh.
And they are rare.
Wow.
So if you find one of those, somebody call me and let me know if you got a Polk Brothers Santa. The only guy that I know has one, and Dean Richard at WGN has one that's in pristine condition.
You're kidding. Does he collect Christmas stuff?
I don't know if he collects it. I think it was his mom's, and he just inherited it. But seriously, you go online, they want like $1,000 for these things. They were plastic blown, you know, and I remember once somebody stole the Santa, and my dad was just distraught, and they found Santa Claus in the alley like 2 blocks away. So he started to chain Santa Claus down. Which kind of defeated Christmas idea.
The spirit of Christmas.
Yeah, it's kind of rough.
On lockdown.
I know.
Yeah, that doesn't seem right.
Yep.
Oh, well, we both do have that joy and love of Christmas. But, you know, not everybody at Christmas time feels always so happy.
True.
I mean, you know, there's a lot of people, and it brings out a lot of grief because, you know, that's the time you start thinking about your loved ones because you remember all those memories around the tree. And I know that I've got photos of every single family member that's deceased on my Christmas tree. So when I put those ornaments up, it's like a mixture of happiness and, you know, a little, you know, obviously sad because I miss my family. And, you know, we're going to talk to somebody, a friend of mine, April Natale, who is, she's a nurse, she's a psychic medium. She wears so many hats and she's going to give us some tips on how to survive the holidays, you know, with the, but also we're going to chat because, you know, this spirituality is something that we talked to someone earlier about Haunted Chicago, and she was a paranormal, dealt with that and wrote books about it. And so, you know, I'm very interested in spirituality and these kinds of things. And I just have a lot of questions for her. She wrote an incredible book called Inside Your Heaven, Inspiring Stories of the Afterlife. And, you know, I started out with a modicum of skepticism, but I have gotten into this book, and I'm telling you, it's not only an amazing book, she's a wonderful writer, but the stories are just, the stories of her childhood alone are something that's worth reading. And I can't wait to talk to her. We have her on now with us now. April, welcome to our show.
Hi.
Thank you so much for coming on with us. Well, first question I have is, how did you realize you had these abilities?
You know, when I was little, I was constantly just kind of connecting to spirits naturally. And I think kids always do that. But as you get older, you know, that critical part of your brain starts to develop more and more, you know, and you kind of forget about the spirits that show up every day or show up usually, you know, in your room at night, because when you're ready to dream, that's when spirits always try to come through, you know, in your dream visitations and stuff. And as I got older and more and more people started to visit me in my dreams with things I couldn't possibly make up and about people that I didn't even know, you know. And then I would have more and more premonitions as, you know, time went by as well, too. I just started to realize, you know, something is different about me, and you just, I just couldn't deny it anymore, if that makes sense. You know, I just couldn't keep closing that door. I had to kind of look into this. And it's like it kept making me anxious because I would dream of people that were going to die, and then they did. So I was
like, your stepdad.
Premonitions. Yes. And, you know, even as a little girl, I just knew my best friend's dad was going to die that day. Like, I didn't have to dream about it. I just had those sense of knowing, that sense of
knowing. Now, did you tell your friend that you had that premonition? And if so, how did she react to it?
No, I didn't, because we were only sixth graders. I don't think I could really explain that to her because she really was just challenged by that significant loss. And I I really kind of kept it inside, and it made me really anxious to the point that I was afraid to shower alone. And I remember after he passed away, I had my mom sit on the bathroom toilet while I took my bath, you know, and I just had these questions, you know. But I was always wondering, like, what it was like after we die, what inside of heaven was like. And the more and more as I grew up, and I think that everyone questions that, especially during the holiday seasons ahead, you know, during this time of grief, or during, you know, everyone's happy and cheery, but not everyone around us right now is experiencing that. And I think the holidays is something that reminds us of our loved ones that are no longer physically here. So
I agree with you so much. And, you know, on the jacket of your book, you have a very strong testimonial from an international spiritual healer who is world-renowned, Pat Longo. And you said that that was your mentor. How did that happen and come about?
You know what? I had my son, and there was a show on TV, on TLC, The Long Island Medium, and I thought it was really fascinating about the things that she did, and, you know, but she talked about how anxious she got, you know, and everyone, of course, wants to see her, but I was like, I need to see the lady that helped her. And I put that out in the universe, and I, you know, coincidences don't just happen, but by, you know, synchronized events, she just came across my path within 2 months of me watching something on Facebook, and then, you know, I was able to get in contact with her. So I, you know, I had all this anxiety. I had all this, I was just so afraid to kind of understand. I didn't know who to go to with these abilities that I had. And along came Pat Longo, and she really helped me understand, you know, the language of the other side that I kind of already had within me. So it's like I didn't really need these outsiders, or maybe going to the churches to find it, or reading a Bible, or going to the Western doctors, let's say, too. Like, I show up to the doctor and I would tell him, I'm really anxious because, you know, this is happening or that. Like, he couldn't help me, but he could prescribe me something. But this wasn't a medical solution. This was a spiritual one. And I think that oftentimes, like, people grieving during the holidays, you know, this isn't like a chemical imbalance. This is a spiritual awakening that you're having, you know. So I think it's really good for people to, you know, find a good spiritual mentor as well. If you're experiencing, you know, psychic mediumship abilities. And that's where I kind of went from there. Yeah.
Okay. So, April, I have another question. You know, my cousins were very involved in, you know, trying to connect with their mom who had passed. And you know, and frankly, my mother believed in it, too. With, I mean, I've got a book, old book about mediumship that was in our house forever. My grandmother was felt this way, and my mother did, my cousins. And my mother, I remember, always said, if there's any way that I can reach out to you after I pass away, I will do it. I'll find any way to connect with you. But I haven't. Now, maybe she has tried, and I'm just not receptive to it. But how do you look for things like that if you're trying to, you know, allow your loved ones in?
So you can, you know, the thing is, too, we're really, really busy. And you, out of all people, are really, really busy.
Too busy.
So, yeah, you know, start a dialogue, like start journaling to her. Ask her for specific things and signs and write it down and date it. And that's what I did as well, too, because I was just so shocked by how much I was getting, all these downloads and all these signs from the other side. You know, and be specific. You know, if you want a pink elephant, write down a pink elephant. If you want white doves, like, write that down.
Does winning the lottery count as one of the asks?
Everyone always asks that. Oh, my gosh. Everyone always asks that.
I know that there are so many people feel the same way, so I'm so glad that you're here to tell us. So give us some examples and tips on how do you deal with grief like that during the holiday? How would you?
You know, you were saying earlier about ornaments. You know, you have all the pictures of your past loved ones, ornaments on the tree. You could put their pictures front and center by the table where they used to sit, you know, during Christmas. Aww. And up in the room and around, you know, the house. You could definitely, there's so many things that you could do. They love to be front and center. They love to be, you can wear their aprons and start baking the cookies. They love when you continue to, they live on in your memories and the traditions that they laid out here in the physical world during this lifetime with their loved ones, you know? So you could do things like that. You can watch their favorite movies. Oh my gosh, there's so many movies that come on during the holidays that everyone just loves or reminds you of your past loved ones, whether it's The Wizard of Oz, National Lampoon's Vacation, Christmas Vacation.
I know, there's so many great Christmas shows.
Home Alone. Like, guys are, I'm sure you're feeling these emotions of what makes you think of your mom when during Christmas time. So keep doing those things. Wear their objects, whether it's jewelry. I wear my grandma's robe.
I love it.
Wear their sweater, their watches, because their objects hold their energy and it brings you great comfort. And if you don't have their objects, you can literally, anytime you think of them, their energy's right there with you. And you could just envision or think of them hugging you, you know. Don't think that you're crazy, and they're very much around you. Every single day, they're really, you know, I talk about my book, how heaven isn't what we're taught, mostly in religious groups, that heaven's up there. St. Peter locks the gates of heaven and, you know, tosses away the key until the next visitor comes or the next one that crosses over. No, that's not the case. What they really truly shows me is heaven is like a city of angels every day amongst us. And it's just like a different realm. You know, the veil is very thin. They're very much amongst us. They're able to show us signs. And when we write them down, that's always a good thing when you're really busy to write. And that's what I did to connect with my loved ones as well, too. And you ask them for specific signs.
How do you deal with skeptics?
Skeptical people? You know what? I'm not here to change anyone's religious views. Mm-hmm. I'm not here to change anyone's mind or experiences. I'm sure. just sharing my experiences yeah. with people. And I don't really entertain a skeptic, if that makes right. sense. Because
that does. You just ignore them. That's the best way.
Yeah, I just ignore. Yeah, but I'll be right. honest with you. I do this. I treat people the way that I want to be treated. And I'm human too. I've been through deep grief.
Oh, for sure.
You know, I've laid there and not wanted to get out of bed. And I mean, grief is very hard.
Yeah.
You know, and there, and you got to think about it. Sometimes people lose a spouse or a child and they don't know how to go on and they don't want to be in this world anymore. Some of them have suicidal thoughts and,
oh, sure.
You know, yeah. whoever's really listening today, like, I want you to know they don't want you to cross over with them. Like, you still have to go on in this world. They want you. They're okay. They're safe with their loved ones on the other side. And oftentimes when I do channel a child that comes through, they always come through with an older loved one that's loving and guiding them, you mm-hmm. know, on the other side. So they're safe. They're okay.
Wow. That's good yeah. to hear and know. You know, mm-hmm. As a nurse, you're still a nurse, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, you say you have these premonitions. I mean, how do you deal with, because I imagine not all the patients that you, you know, work with survive. And do you know when they're going to pass away, or do you have senses like that?
You have a feeling, yes. Yeah. So I do have a couple experiences that I wrote about in my book. And one was, I was working with a patient and he was leaving. We were sending him to the hospital. I was working like a nursing home and mm-hmm. he was leaving to the hospital. We were sending him out because he was in distress, but we just locked eyes and I just had that feeling, you know. But it wasn't until I dreamt of him a couple days later, because, you know, he was in the hospital. And the next day I went to work and the hospital was calling us asking for his next of kin. And, you know, aww. She really couldn't give me a lot of information because of HIPAA. But I said, listen, I'm his nurse too. And she was like, okay, mm-hmm. we're trying to find his next of kin because, you know, so-and-so. But prior to that, before I finished this part of what she said, I had a dream about him and he just stood there and said, thank you. And I was like, that's weird. Like, why is my patient standing there in my dream saying thank you? And it was so vivid.
My goodness.
He didn't say it with his voice, but he gave me these feelings of overwhelming sense of gratitude where I knew he was saying, you know, so he communicated on a totally different level. And then the next day when I went to work, the nurse kept calling and calling. And that's when I was like, listen, like, you keep calling. You called in the morning. You called in the afternoon. You got to let me know what's going on. And she's like, well, we're looking for his next of kin to come claim his body.
Oh, he died. Bless
so
his heart.
And I got chills throughout my body because he had came. And that was his soul's way of just saying thank you for taking care of him. And he was a stickler. He was always trying to get the nurse's aides to give him water or ice chips, and he was on fluid restrictions because his kidneys were shutting down pretty much. But he thanked me for just looking out for him and the care that I provided. So that was pretty amazing. And
yeah.
And then when I was in the rooms with hospice patients, of course, you know that they're going to transition.
Right.
And the look in their eyes, and sometimes they cannot communicate. But I did have this one patient, you know, he was burning up, fevers, and I was bringing them down with, you know, ice packs underneath his armpits and mm-hmm. all by his neck, all by the, all over, and mm-hmm. the medications. And as soon as he passed, you know, his granddaughter and his son were there, and there was this plastic like rose in the room out of nowhere. It was never there, and it was left behind. I said, oh. And I felt the urge. I was like giving it to his granddaughter, and they're like, that's not ours. We don't know where that came from, you know?
Oh, boy. Yeah.
But I just communicated with him because he had transitioned, and that was kind of his way of thanking me.
Oh,
you know, there
goodness.
Was another thing of where you can't make that up. And, and then I had other patients where they're always reaching towards the sky or pointing towards the closets or corner of the room talking to their past loved ones that are kind of stepping forward, and they're able to see them more now than ever once they transition, and they're pretty much saying their names and, you know, and they're getting ready to cross over. Yeah. So,
well, do you think everyone has psychic abilities, or do you think it's a rare gift?
I think that we are all human beings right now. We are all spiritual beings having a human experience. And when we're done with this human experience, we go back to being spiritual beings. Mm-hmm. All of us have a soul, and intuition is the navigation system that's a part of your soul. So we all can hone in on these abilities, you know, all gifts or whatever you call it, you know, we can all connect to the other side. We can all trust our intuition because it's a part of your soul. It comes with you and it goes with you as you, you know, when you leave this human meat coat, this jacket that we got on here, this avatar that we all picked for ourselves. You know, you got a you got a good looking one, Candace, and John over there. So, yeah, I mean, once we leave this human form, we still have our soul. We go back to our spirit form and its energy and the intuition. Yeah, everyone has these abilities. Everyone could connect with, you know, the other side, or have strong intuition where they know something's really wrong or something's really right.
That's good to know. You know, I have. I know you have children, two children, Stephen and Mariah. And what do your kids think about your abilities?
They have their own premonitions.
Oh, really?
So they, I just love it because now it's kind of me mothering myself now. You know, these are things that I wish my mom knew what to do with me as a child, because she didn't know. I really kept it in, and I didn't tell anyone until I was in my 30s, but my kids, yeah, they have, what do they think? They think that this is natural. They ask me questions, and then they have their own premonitions, and they're amazed by it. They're really good at it, and they talk to the other side. My daughter, she can kind of see spirit as well, too, and I just let it be a very natural thing for them to communicate with their loved ones, and so, yeah.
What do you think about the future of psychic and mediumship practices? I mean, do you think it's going to get, people are becoming more interested in it? Because I know, like, in the 19th century, it was like so prevalent. I mean, everybody practiced it or believed in it, and they had tables, you know, the lifting of the tables, and you know, it seems like it comes in cycles. What do you think about that?
I think that after COVID especially, and all of the losses of our loved ones most recently that just came after that big, you know, it's kind of like a mental breakdown. We were all locked inside. We were all put in our darkness, dark parts of ourselves that we had to figure out, you know, about. It was pretty much a spiritual awakening for this earth itself, pretty much. And I think that people are searching now more than ever ways to connect with spirituality or themselves, or just questioning things. And it's not what it was like way back then. And it's not really always so much about paranormal activities. You know, people get afraid, but it's really truly just energy, because energy never dies. It's the spirit of your loved ones that are kind of like closing the door or flickering the lights. You know, they can, their energy can really send those signs. So pay attention when you know, the lamp, like my grandma, she always left the light on. And, especially when she was out all night at the casino. She wanted to make people think that she was home.
I love it.
When she would come home, you know, she would then turn it off and go to bed. But at the end stages of her life, she lived with my mom, and once she crossed over, my mom started seeing the lamp being left on when she came home, or the lamp would just turn on. So she just knew that was my mother's, my grandmother's sign for her, my mom, to let her know. And, you know, so I think people are going to start, people are starting to realize more and more that it's not, the spirit world so much that you have to be afraid of. It's the living because they have more free will to do more, you know, this, the choices and decisions of this world right now. It's everyone was kind of on edge. You know, there's been a lot of changes. Mm-hmm. And I think people are opening up more and seeing, you know, that the signs and how when people, the sick, the elderly, or anyone, once they make their transition, they show signs. They're able to manipulate small objects. You'll find coins and check those coins for dates, and you'll be surprised that certain dates show up, like the dates of the years that your loved ones were born, or their birth dates will be on them. Yeah.
I'm going through my penny jar tomorrow. First thing.
No, listen, but when you're walking down the street, you'll find
no, you're absolutely right. Yeah, mm-hmm. right, exactly. Yeah, mm-hmm. I'll dive head first for a quarter. So, April, I have to tell you, this has been an intriguing discussion with you, and I highly encourage people to buy your book, Inside Your Heaven, Inspiring Stories of the Afterlife. I mean, it's literally available everywhere, Amazon, Barnes & Noble's, Target, Books A Million. But it's such a good read on so many different levels. And even if you don't believe in this idea of mediumship or whatever, the book is fabulous. I mean, you really share your heart with the world in the book, April. And I really enjoyed reading it. And I thank you for sharing all this knowledge. And I hope everything you said is the truth, because I want to believe it so badly. So thank you so much for being
on. But wait a minute. I got a whole list of questions.
Oh, John, well, why did you step in?
Oh, I'm not going to run over. I'm not going to hijack the show while you're on a roll.
Oh, stop it. Come on, tell me.
So here's a couple things. The first thing is, go ahead.
Because I know you believe highly in this.
I don't even believe it. I know it. There's a difference.
Yeah, see, he's experienced.
I've had so many experiences. Yeah. I mean, my third book, Phenomenon, is filled. Yeah, it's filled with this stuff. Mm-hmm. And so what I've learned, and I read your book as well, it's all about real world experiences. You know, there's a difference between theory and experience. And once you've experienced something, that's the difference between knowing and believing. You know, I ask people all the time when I go out and do talks for certain things, and I'll say, do you believe you love your kids, or do you know it? And you'll, if you're a parent, you'll feel the difference. So that's what I got out of your work. I read through the book last couple of days, and the stories that are in there, those are from your life. And when you live these things, you're less concerned whether or not anybody believes it or not, because you know it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, there's a solid knowing in there. But a couple of things that popped up into my head was, you know, Candace, you mentioned about, you know, in the last century, there was a great groundswell of this spiritualism and those type of things. And part of me feels like sometimes this stuff rises and falls during the times that we're living in, when we feel real desperate and the headlines are just a shit show and you want to know that your life matters and stuff. When I read your book, when I went through your book, April, I kept thinking to myself, every one of these things, and there's a bell ringing somewhere. Do you hear this?
Oh, God.
Well, that's spirit, that's my house.
What, do you hear that?
Yeah.
No, that's my clock.
Well, that ding, ding. Okay. Sorry. You know, this, and how much, when by the time people hear this, you all have taken some of this stuff out, but it's been like a cacophony of amazing interruptions. All on purpose.
There's no question. That's the truth.
This happens all the time, especially when I'm with clients doing Zoom sessions. The energy is so strong that there is so much manipulation with electrical or energy, you know, TVs, phones, bells. Yeah.
I'm just really thankful that I'm thankful that my platform has been very stable with all the bouncing around that's going on. But my question, my question, based on an observation about the times we're living in, how important do you think it is? Because you mentioned we all have this, and I agree. I mean, we all have muscles, we just don't all use them. We all have brains, but we don't use them. So we all have built in, I think, this toolbox of these gifts that, you know, we know the five senses, but what about the sixth and the seventh and the eighth sense?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So do you think that it's the difficult times? I mean, I know you went through a lot when you were a kid. Is it the difficult times that seem to be like the most opportunity to learn of these things? Because when it's easy, we don't pay attention. So how important is the grief and the difficulty in opening up yourself to stuff that you may not have before?
You will start to see, like, once they transition. They're not in that human form anymore. And it goes beyond your five senses. So all of a sudden, you're smelling their favorite cologne that they wore. You're getting huge whiffs of that, or the smell of a cigar that your grandpa smoked. And you can hear your name being called in the other room. That was something that happened to my mom as well, too, where she was kind of skeptic. She was like, all right, you know, she was experiencing these things where she heard her name being called and she got up to go look for my grandma. She was voicemails on the old cell phones of my stepdad after he crossed over would go off, but not just on any day. They would go off on her birthday saying, "Hun, I'm right here waiting for you." And then it go off. So there was just so many stories and experiences beyond the five senses, right? Where you're like this sixth sense. And I do feel that when you're in deep grief, you feel like you're going crazy, but you're not. You're having a mental breakdown, but that's the opportunity to have such a beautiful spiritual awakening.
You know,
that's where we kind of yearn for more, you know?
Yeah. I've had some of the people that come to mind as you're talking about this that are friends of mine that passed away, and I've had more time than they've had. There's always that feeling like, you know, I've had X amount of days, and they've been gone 10, 15, 20, 25 years. Mm-hmm. And what comes to mind is a friend of mine who was a pro wrestler of all things, and he died at the age of 46 back in 2004, I think it was. And we hadn't seen each other for a little while, but I went over to his funeral I was living in Michigan, drove over to Minneapolis, spent time with his partner and his family and stuff. And he's a great guy. He was kind of a loose cannon, but he succumbed to his demons. But towards the end of his life, he had his act together and he died at 46. It was very sad. So I'm driving back from the memorial and all that. I get home and I'm just really distraught. I mean, like, you know, come on, Mike, you know, really? 46, come on. And I said, if I just knew, you know, like he was okay, I'm thinking this. Like, if I knew he was okay, I think I'd be okay. And it's just what you were saying earlier. It's about, you know, knowing they're okay, and that knowing wasn't part of my life yet. So I went to bed that night, and at 2:55 in the morning, my phone rings. Now, it wasn't a cell phone. It was in the house, right? So it's like the extension thing. And I pick up the phone, hello, hello, nobody there, click. The next night, it rings at 2:56 in the morning. The third night at 2:57, now I'm thinking there's a prank caller at the bar about a mile from my house who, you know, must be jerking my chain. And finally, when it rang at 3 o'clock in the morning, I said, that's it. And it was says unknown number. So the next morning, I called the phone company and I said, listen, every night for the last four nights, phone's ringing, I need to know who's doing this. And it was almost like a movie. They said, we don't have a record of any calls.
Yikes.
And I'm saying, do I change my underwear now or later? But the third night at 3:01 in the morning, or the fifth night, I should say, after this all had taken place, I call the phone company. I go to bed and I say, you know, Mike, if that's you, you know, okay, fine. The phone rings one more time. I pick it up. I said, I love you and I miss you. Never rang again.
And it stopped. Yep.
Oh my God.
So that was very much comparable to the story in my book too, where, you know, the phone kept ringing.
Yes.
And it was an unknown number, but the numbers were in sequence. So it was like 111. Then it kept ringing again. Then it was like 555. And then the third time, 777. And then it was to the point where, I believe it was like the patient's granddaughter answered the phone and just said, okay, grandma or grandpa, I know that you made it there. Well, you stopped calling, and then it stopped.
Mm-hmm.
So they're able to connect, you know, with that type of energy. Mm. So they'll manipulate things. It's very easy with your phones, your TVs, your cell phones, your radios, you know, pay attention to that. And, you know, I kind of came out of the closet being a psychic medium pretty much after my stepdad had made his transition to the other side. He was a police officer, so he knew he had to share evidence with me, but not only me, the others, to make them really believe. And that was my mother. So he would come to me in dreams and he would tell me so many significant things. And, you know, one time that really helped my mom was, and it scared her, but she was like, she was reading the Sunday newspaper, the Chicago Tribune or whatever, and she didn't have her reading glasses. So she got up from the kitchen table, and she lives alone now, and she went to the bedroom to go find her reading glasses, and they weren't there. But prior to that, I got to back it up because I always do that. He came to me in a dream and he said, tell her to look by the dresser. I'm like, okay. So the next day I call my mom and I said, Ma, are you missing anything? She goes, yeah, I told you I'm missing our wedding pictures. I said, Mom, you didn't tell me you got 6 kids. You didn't tell me. I would have remembered that. She's like, yeah, I did. But anyway, so she goes back. I go, well, look by the dresser. She goes, I looked. I haven't found them. Weeks went by, and then she calls me. And you could tell that she had something on her mind. And she's like, all right. She said, don't put this on Facebook. Lo and behold, I wrote a book and put it in there. But I was sitting at the table, you know, fast. She's reading the newspaper. I said, did you look by the dresser? She goes, I looked by the dresser. She goes, I went into the room, and I looked by the dresser, and I couldn't find my reading glasses. I'm like, okay. She goes, and when I went to go leave, the TV turned on. So I shut it off. She goes, and then I went to leave the room again, and the TV turned on again. She goes, and I went to go put the remote by the dresser, and there were my reading glasses out of thin air right by the dresser floor. You know, he just uses me as like the middleman to kind of prove to my mom, hey, I'm right here. You know, I never left you. And that was one of the dreams that he first came to her in. Came to me in many, because I'm so open to this.
Yeah, yeah.
And he came to her, and just one of her dreams was, she's running up to him, and he says, what do you mean? She's like, oh my God, I missed you. I missed you so much. He's like, what do you mean? I'm here all along. I never went anywhere. That's what they show us. You know, they're really, truly amongst us. You can talk to them in your thoughts, in your feelings out loud. You can journal to them. They're right there. We just get so busy in our daily lives to kind of miss those opportunities of the signs, you know. And sometimes when they do manipulate the energy around you, pay attention to the microwaves that don't work anymore or the refrigerators that go out. But they'll make it up to us in other ways to have somebody come along and help you fix it or whatever. The money come along to help fix those items too. But they're always messing with the TVs,
yeah,
the lights.
The electronics. You know, so the thing that two things came away from me in your book. Number one is everybody's listening to the show should go read this book. Inside Your Heaven. It's, two things happened for me. One is, because I'm very familiar with this and have experienced this, the stories didn't surprise me. Like, oh my God, I didn't have that reaction. What I had was permission granted, permission granted, permission granted.
Yes.
That there are people
listening.
Absolutely. Yes. And there are people listening to this show that will say, you know, when I was writing my third book, I told this guy that I was in the service with what I was doing and some of the experiences I had that, much like you, I had kept to myself. But I thought, well, you know, I'm going to write it because I'm going to get it out there. And as soon as I told him what it was, it gave him permission. He said, you know, I feel like my parents are around me all the time. I can smell my dad's cigar. And I'm thinking, this book here, these stories, it's amazing what happened in your life, April, but I think you're giving permission for people to find what's amazing in their life.
Yes.
Well said, yep.
Yes. I want them to know that they're not alone. They're not crazy, especially during those deep moments of grief. And then you're second guessing yourself. How did I just hear, you know, my mother call my name from the other room?
Mm-hmm.
How did I just smell their cologne, like strong, where you can't, you know? Or sometimes they'll poke your feet and you'll jolt awake. That was one of the things that kept happening to me after people would cross over. And I guess that's like a really big thing in the Latin American countries, that, you know, the most sensitive part of your feet, they say that's when the spirit world is trying to get a hold of you. They'll poke your feet.
Poke your feet.
So, you know, they tickle when you're a little kid, you're tickling a child's foot, you know, your most sensitive spot is your feet. That's where you're tickled.
I was going to say, so paying attention to all this stuff is really, really important. And the one thing I want to ask you before we cut you loose here is about your name. because I found it very interesting how your name has evolved. So please share that, your last name.
My name is April Natale. That's my first and middle name. My middle name means Christmas in Italian. So I just kind of went with my first and middle name. My last name is just too hard to spell. It's also something that I just wanted to drop due to the relationship with my biological father as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, yeah, I just...
So basically, Christmas is every day for you. That's why you and Candace get along so well.
There you go. Yeah. That was probably the first connection, right, April?
Yeah. Yes. Chris, you should see my decorations on my front porch. I'm very I'm very happy about what I did.
Oh, I can't wait to see it. Well, listen, we've had a great time chatting with you, and I'm going to say it again. Read her book, Inside Your Heaven, Inspiring Stories of the Afterlife. You can tell from this discussion that there was so much more, but we just scratched the surface. And their books are available anywhere on Amazon, Barnes & Nobles, Target, Books A Million. April, people contact you. How can people contact you? And also, let me ask you, what do you need to do a reading from the people that are your clients? What do you need from them? Do you need a photo? Or how do you do your reading?
No, I see spirit. The spirit world is limitless, so somebody can be in the UK and they can have a session with me very easily on Zoom if they'd like to be on the video. I don't need a thing. I just need you to be in a quiet place, not distracted by anything or little barking dogs.
We could never do a reading with me in my house, that's for sure.
You can come to me in person. I am in the Chicagoland area. I do have an office setting at my home. Or we can do it over the phone, on Zoom, a link is sent. It's pretty much.
Okay, well, give us your information, your website and the phone number and how they can contact you.
Yeah, my website's aprilnatale.com. So they can pretty much go there. And everything is available. You know, you could check out there. You can call me as well, too, and my phone number is all available, or reach out to me on Facebook or Instagram, social media.
Great.
But it's all right there, yeah.
Well, listen, I wish you all the best, and thank you for enlightening our world and sharing all your observations. And again, this book is unbelievable, Inside Your Heaven. So congratulations, and thanks for coming on, April.
Yes, thank you. Thank you both.
All I can say about that is, whoa.
Yeah, whoa, that's a good word. Me too. I'm telling you, you know, I've told you before that I really am a fan and, I want to believe in this and like everybody in my family did, but I'm still a skeptic. But, you know, talking to her and reading her book, I can't say enough how interesting the book was. And I quite frankly and honestly, I did not expect to like it.
Right.
And I was hooked from the first page. So there you go.
Well, yeah. And you listen, there's an old saying. I actually have a coffee mug somewhere that says, the greatest challenge is to walk in two worlds with one spirit.
Whoa.
And I think about that every day, about, you know, I've had these two, I don't even call them near death experiences. They're near life. They brought me closer to being alive than anything. So even though I was technically not here, they made me far more aware of what's going on in the world than I ever would have before. I think that was the whole purpose. But to bounce back and forth and to be able to function in our physical reality is one thing. And the other thing is, when something happens, how do you translate it? What do you do with it? So what she's done is created this great book, Inside Your Heaven, that what I appreciate about her stories, it's not like a how-to.
Right,
it's not
exactly
a step-by-step.
It's
just her testimony.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. It was fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, all my little events now seem a little talky.
Yeah, but they're important, too, because they make people feel good. And they're doing good work. It's a good thing.
Well, no. Well, and there is a good thing. One of the best things that's happened this week, and this was, I always talk about the Service Club of Chicago. I love this organization. They help so many people. They're a nonprofit that provides funds for other nonprofits. So, I mean, they doubly create joy and happiness and help, you know, people in need in a million different ways. And they just had their biggest donation in the history of the organization on December 5th at the holiday luncheon. A longtime member, she was a member for 65 years of this organization, Marguerite Hark, H-A-R-K. She passed away, and she left the service club, an endowment of $1 million.
What?
Yeah, one, and they announced it at the luncheon, and I am telling you, you could have heard a pin drop. It was so momentous, and so it was a total surprise. And the service club president, Jean Antineau, announced it at the during the event, and I mean, it was so joyous. And I mean, it's just, you know, you never know. And so, you know, that's why I'm nice to everybody, John, because you never know whose will you might be included.
You never know.
No, yeah.
Have you ever gotten surprise money, like you didn't expect it?
Sadly, no. How about you?
I had one time, my dad passed in 04, 10 years later. This isn't the same thing like that, but yeah. It was a surprise money. We got a call one day from the guy who was the executive of the estate, and everything was all doled out, my sister and I, you know, we knew ahead of time what was happening, but apparently he found a life insurance policy that was forgotten for 10 what? Years. Yeah.
Oh.
And we went out to dinner that night, sister.
Bet you did. Well, you're lucky. Well, I know. No surprise money here. You know, I do buy lottery tickets, so
I'm good.
Hoping that one day something might happen there. Well, you know my friend Leslie Hyman, the wonderful woman who founded Leslie Hyman Auctioneers. She had a birthday party at her beautiful palazzo in the Gold Coast. And as people arrived for this party, she had hired a trumpeter to do like do-do-do-do every time somebody came to the door. And it was just adorable. I'd never seen anything like it. And so that was a really fun party.
Well, that's good.
You know, the Joffrey Ballet's Nutcracker, it opened on December 2nd to rave reviews, mine one of them. And it is, you know, every year they tweak it somehow to make it better. And I don't know how they've done this, but it was better than ever. It's there through the December 22nd, and it's a must-see. Nothing gets you in the spirit for Christmas and the holidays like this production. So that's one thing that you definitely have to see. And, you know, I told you before, Friday night is the Music of the Baroques at St. Michael's Church. Another thing that's going to get us in the mood for Christmas. Not that I need any jump start, for sure. And, here's something interesting. The Astor Club, you know, that private highfalutin club that's in the Gold Coast.
Highfalutin.
Have you heard of it?
Yes.
It's highfalutin, you know, private, members only kind of thing. Well, they're celebrating, you know, it used to be the old Maxim's. Remember Maxim's?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, and so that's what it is now. That they've morphed it into the Astor Club with very few changes, though. I was there, and it looked, you know, very much similar to the way I remember it. But they're celebrating their 60th anniversary of Maxim's over the weekend. They'll have a talk about the history of the club, and then on Sunday, they're going to have a violin concert and with $15 million worth of violins.
Oh my gosh.
Something. I know. Unbelievable. And last night we went to the Golden Triangle. You know the Golden Triangle? Doug Van Tress.
Yes.
He's the owner, one of the owners. And he had a delightful thing. It was called an Enchanted Evening, and it truly was. He had Thai dancers and Thai performances and beautiful commissioned music, a Thai dinner. You know, it was so absolutely amazing, and the dancers were so spectacular, and so, I mean, one girl was so exquisite it just took your heart, took your breath away, and it was really a different kind of an evening. And the dancers were from the Thai Cultural and Fine Arts Institute of Chicago. So kudos for Doug Van Tress and his partner for putting on such a delightful display.
Well done.
And you know, I met somebody. You may know her, Joy Cunningham. She's an appellate court judge now, and she's going to run for the Supreme Court, Illinois Supreme Court. And my friend Maria Pappas introduced me to her, and I'm telling you, I was so blown away by this woman. I mean, she's got so many accolades. She was elected to the president of the Chicago Bar Association. She became the first black woman to lead the nation's largest municipal bar association. And so, you know, I'm going to try to talk to her, maybe bring her on the show, and yeah, she's really absolutely amazing, and she's all for protecting a woman's rights to choose, civil rights, voting rights, and things like that. But she seems like the kind of person who does the right thing, which is a nice thing these days.
You know, I'm going to say this again. I know you may have a couple more events to share, but I'm going to say this again. Part of the reason I'm so supportive of what you do is I don't hear any of this stuff in the news. No, I don't.
Sure.
I don't. Aww. I know the people listening to this podcast feel much the same way. Every now and again, I'll have one of our former guests, I'll send them some information, and they're like, you know, they're behind you because of who you are and the good energy that you bring to all this stuff. And you highlight these things that, unless you're talking about them, we don't hear about them. And we need to hear about him. It counterbalances all the crap that's going on in the world.
Oh, well, yeah. You know, this is Chicago. This is the things that are happening around town. And a lot of people think that these kind of things are, I don't know why they think this, but not important enough to share. And it has to be an automobile accident
exactly.
at the corner of something and something. And, you know, we just need more news like this. And this is all true. This is all good, true news, which is
right.
makes it even better. I mean, for example, the Paws Furball, they raised $1.5 million to support the organization and homeless pets. Now, if that isn't good news, nothing is.
That's right.
Yeah. And so, also going on now through the 10th is the one-of-a-kind show at the Merchandise Mart. And this is when artists and artisans come together with their, you know, homemade goods and that mm-hmm. they have, like, you know, it's such a great place to find gifts for the holidays. And I just went there yesterday and here's this.
I'm cracking up. I'm cracking up. And it's staying in.
Yeah. Anyway, well, oh my God. One of a kind show through December 10th. And let me see what else I've got. Oh, World of Chocolate's coming on February 9th. Now, if you have not at Union Station, if you haven't been to the World of Chocolate, which John, this is right up your alley.
Yeah, absolutely.
The World of Chocolate. Oh my God. Penny, stop it. Anyway, it's February 9th. I'm going to be a judge. It's fabulous. And all the proceeds will benefit the AIDS Foundation of Chicago. But wait, one more thing. No. Wait. Priscilla Presley, don't forget, coming to Teddy Kossoff's December 16th to support Gigi's Playhouse. And Sunday, I am going to Wings at the Four Seasons, which supports victims of domestic violence. And it's a great brunch for the kids with Santa. There'll be, you know, music, food, everything you can think of. So that's the end of it. Now, Chuck. The whole world is crashing in on me here. Okay. That's enough, folks. I guess you've heard enough of all the travails here at my house.
Yeah.
Anyway, John, what are you doing over the weekend?
So we have Christmas party tonight. I think I'm downtown with a suit on, actually.
Oh, shut up.
The 99th floor of some big building that has a restaurant or something I've heard of. What is that? Is that the Hancock, the Sears Tower? Who is that? 99th floor?
99th floor. Well,
I think it's the Hancock, but they don't call it the Hancock anymore, do they?
No,
it's the Willis Tower. I don't know.
No,
I don't go downtown.
The Sears Tower is the Willis Tower.
All right, but is it still the Hancock?
Confused. Yeah, there's a Hancock.
Well, I think that's where we're going.
Okay.
And so we're doing that tonight, and then tomorrow night, my friend, I got to give a shout out because he's always come in. My friend Richard Kaufman is always the guest conductor at the CSO when they do the music and the movies events, and so he is in town for Home Alone at the CSO. And if you've never been to one of these, they're fantastic. They show the movie on this ginormous screen, and the CSO plays the movie score.
Oh,
have
wow,
you ever been to one of these?
No, but I have
heard
about it, and it sounds like such a great idea,
it is.
First of all.
It is. Yeah. So he's been doing this a long time, and we've been friends a very long time. So when he comes in, I've seen Home Alone 9,000 times, so I don't need to see that again.
Yeah.
But we're going to dinner tomorrow night, and a little plug, we're going to Harry Carey's.
Oh, fantastic.
Harry Carey. You know what I'm saying? Candace Jordan. So, and then I'm going to the Bears game on Sunday.
Oh my God. You're
busy weekend.
Busy as a little bee.
Yes.
Oh, well,
so it'll be fun.
It'll be a lot of fun. And, you know, one more thing I have to mention. Felix Magazine is going to have a charity dinner series at Joy District on Monday, the 11th. And, you know, this magazine supports the Aparicio Foundation, which helps high learning, low income girls in Chicago public schools. And it's anybody can come, you know, go on, you can Google it to Felix Magazine and you'll find all the information. I'll be there. I'm excited to be a part of this. Meredith Marks, who is one of the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, will be a host of the event. And it'll be Chef Paul Verrant is going to donate, you know, a fabulous dinner. And I mean, it's just going to be super spectacular. DJ Madrid Perry will be playing beats. So it's something that you shouldn't miss if you could go. And if you have time available on December 11th at Joy District for Felix Magazine. So I think I've really about to run the gamut of all my events now.
We basically covered everything on the planet. And then some.
Yes, we have. Well, thank you for being there, John. I hope everybody enjoyed this incredibly interesting, in my opinion, podcast. And I hope you tune in the next time. In the meantime, have a great weekend.
Thanks for listening to the Candid Candace podcast. For more of what's going on in Chicago, go to CandidCandace.com.